Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to those who are new. Hallelujah. Let's stand and start praise and worship together. Hallelujah. Is your God a mighty God? Hallelujah. Your God is an awesome God. We praise your name, Father God. Just open up your mouth and praise him. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are in this place. Thank you, God. You are an awesome God. You are a mighty God. You are a big God. Hallelujah. Be magnified in this place, Lord. Be magnified in our lives in this church, Lord. Over every situation, Father. Hallelujah. We worship you.
Sing glory to the one who has given me his son.
for you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here.
You never stop walking. Yeah. You never stop. Yeah. You never stop walking. Even when I don't. day to walk in. You never stop, you never stop walking. You never stop, you never stop walking. Even when I don't feel it, you're walking. Even when I don't feel it, you're walking. You never stop, you never stop walking. You never stop, you never stop walking. You're walking, even when I don't feel it, you're walking. You never stop walking. You never stop walking. Even when I don't see it, you're walking. Even when I don't feel it, you're walking. You never stop walking. You never stop walking. Even when I don't see it, you're walking. Even when I don't feel it, you're walking. You never stop walking. You never stop walking. Even when I don't see it, you're walking. Even when I don't feel it, you're walking. You never stop walking. You never stop walking.
Oh, we praise you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, God. Hallelujah. When it looks like nothing, Father God, thank you, Lord. You are always doing something. We praise your name, Father. We magnify you this morning. Hallelujah. You are so great. You are so awesome. We praise your name. You are excellent, Lord. You are excellent, Lord.
Thank you. is your name.
Have your way, Lord.
Have your way.
Hallelujah. In this church, God, oh, have your way.
Have your way.
Yes, Lord, sing it. Have your way.
Have your way.
Have your way.
Have your way.
way. Have your way, Lord. Let your kingdom come and your will here be done this day and every day of our lives. Do for us what no man can. Manifest your glory, Father. Manifest your glory. You're the God who's spoken to us and you've told us that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. You tell us that your people and we are your people will never be ashamed. So we say, Lord, let your perfected will in heaven be manifest now in our lives. Our faith is in you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. How excellent is your name. Blessed be your holy name forever, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is good to see you all in the house of the Lord. Thank you, worship team. You've ministered powerfully to us today. Hallelujah. We are not only blessed when we hear the word of the Lord. We are also blessed when we hear the word of the Lord, not just in preaching, but in the singing of our praise. Amen. Praise God. Praise and worship time sometimes is the most important time for me, not only because it is a ministry to the Lord, but that's the time that I get to hear the word of God been spoken back to me. Amen? And when I came here this morning to spend some time with the Lord, I did much more time listening to the direction of the Lord as to songs that I'd not heard, that he gave me titles to. And as I typed out those titles, the songs were songs that I needed to drink. Things that I needed to receive for myself before I come here today to stand before you. I say all of that to say this. Praise and worship time is not an option. You know, when you fill in forms, they say optional. That means you can fill it in or you can leave it out. Praise and worship is not optional. Amen? That's not something you opt in or opt out of. The anointing of God is in that time of worship. I cannot boldly, loudly say that this worship team is the best skilled worship team in Winnipeg. Maybe not. But what I can tell you is that when they start singing and they start playing, there are waves of the glory of God Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I pray that you take advantage of it. Ride it. Because it prepares you for the preaching or the teaching of the Word of God or a prophetic statement or ministry of laying on of hands or whatever. Praise and worship opens you up for what God wants to bring into your life. Amen? So I encourage you to take it seriously. Take it seriously. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, I'm not going to go to any passage of scripture this morning because I'm so full that if I get started now, I won't stop and the service is just going to get longer and longer. So at this time, I want you to rise in preparation as Mama comes to lead us in prayer. Let us position ourselves for miracles. I know I need a miracle today. I know this church, this ministry needs a miracle. Hallelujah. Someday I will tell you the story of what God has done. I say has done because this river we shall cross. Amen? Amen? Amen. And I'll tell you, look what we went through. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. God day, everybody. I said, God day, everybody. You know, if you're having a God day, you shall not fail. You shall not be defeated. You shall not be sick. You shall not lack. You will have every good thing from our Father. So let's pray for our children. If you're there, stretch your hands. Father, we thank you for all our children, biological and spiritual partners, extended families, those that are standing before us right now, every decade of life from 120 to zero, those in seed form, we pray for every one of them. Every decade of life, they belong to you. We are your children. We are God's people. We bless them and all our teachers. Make your face shine upon every one of them. May they know you and walk with you every day of their lives. Touch them, heal them, restore them, make them whole. Strengthen them and cause them to be victorious. In Jesus' mighty name. And those that are sick, we say, be healed, be restored, be made whole. Even sicknesses that they said there is no hope, we say, let it turn around. God, remove sickness and disease from your body and be made whole in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. See you later, children. Father, we continue to bless your holy name. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. You were here before we came, and you're here right now. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We receive you into our hearts, into our lives, our home, our city, our nation, our church, our businesses, every part of our lives. Have your way in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's turn our Bible quickly to our reading. This one is going to be Isaiah 55. And it's not lots of verses, so we can catch up and read together. Isaiah 55. You can read along. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. May your spiritual ears be open. In the name of Jesus. Not only when you are asleep, but also when you are awake. Say amen. Say amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you here have ever dreamt? You dream? You see you doing things and hearing things in your dreams? Well, that's your spirit man that's doing all of that at that time. So you are aware of it. So you want to be able to function when you are awake. Say amen. All right, say I have ears and I have eyes and they work. Amen. All right, everybody should be in Isaiah 55. Let's read, starting from verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that had no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Somebody say, I take this. That's for me. Say, I buy everything. And I take everything without money and without price that I need. I come to the waters. What is the waters? The word of God. As you are in it, the answer will come. Say amen. The word is a person. As you are in him, the answer will come. So come to the waters. You've come this morning, stay in the waters. Say amen. Verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Say amen. Say amen. Eat the word of God this morning. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Somebody say a big amen. 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 His mercies are new every morning. And great is his faithfulness. I receive the sure mercies of David. Verse 4. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Somebody shout hallelujah. The sure mercies of David are upon you. You will be a leader and you will be a commander. Are there leaders and commanders in this house? Somebody say, that's me. It's for David, but I receive it. Verse 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee. Because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, he had glorified thee. Somebody shout hallelujah. We call nations to run unto us. Run to the house of God, and run to do the will of God. Your amen is weak. Say big amen. You must pray for the nations to come to the Lord. Say amen. They say you do the calling. So it doesn't happen just by keeping quiet. You must pray for the nations and call them to come to the Lord. And as they come to the Lord, the blessing comes to you. Every nation on earth is blessed. No matter how remote it is, God has put something there for his people. But that thing will not be a blessing to them until they call on the Lord. Somebody call on the Lord for Canada. Yes. Canada, come to Jesus. You have to pray that. This is where you live, you pray it, and the abundance of the land will manifest itself. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Is he here this morning? So call on him. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. May God have mercy on us, on our thoughts. Say, forsake those evil thoughts, unrighteous thoughts. And may God pardon us. Say, we receive his mercy. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So if we abandon our thoughts, we can hook on to God's thoughts. And that's what we're doing this morning. Say, I receive his thoughts. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we want higher thoughts. So we call upon the Lord to download his thoughts in us. One of his thoughts he gave us this morning, say, oh, anyone who thirsts. So if you're thirsty this morning, say, enter his waters. And you can buy without money. I enter that water and I stay there. Say amen. Verse 10, for as the rain coming down and the snow from heaven, and returned not thither, but watered the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Say a big amen. So it's up to you to open your mouth and send the word. Send it, and it shall bring forth the answer. So if you send a complaint, what answer are you going to get? Complain will bring complaint back. So what do you want to send out today? Amen. So it's up to you. Use your mouth and use it for what you want. God said that's how he does it. He sends it and he brings what he says. All right? When there was darkness and chaos, he said what? Let there be light. So say only the answer. Amen. So we have abundance. We have plenty. We have divine blessings, divine health, divine strength, divine favor, divine goodness, a healthy nation, a wealthy nation, a godly nation. So the more you say you have a bad nation, you will have a bad nation. So we change our confession. Amen? See, when you send it, just like the snow comes down, doesn't you? Don't have you seen snow going up? Only in the movies when they reverse it. So, but in reality, once it comes down, that's it. Amen? All right, well, it might evaporate and then start all over again. But, you know, praise the Lord. So send good things. Send good things for your church. Send for your family. Send for your business. Send for your home. Send for your finance, your health, your future. Say amen. Send for your family. If you catch yourself doing the negative, just say, Lord, I repent. Pardon me. And then start all over again. All right, we're almost done. Verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. How many went out with joy this morning? Well, that's me. So next time you find yourself so sad and miserable, just say, God asked me to go out with joy. So I'm going out with joy now. Say amen. You don't feel like being joyful. You just say, I'm going out with joy. And joy will start going to work. Say, it will, joy will come to you. You send out joy, joy will come to you. Amen. And Bible talks about joy unspeakable. You are just full of strength, and joy gives you strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So we will have strength in every area of our lives. Say amen. Amen. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall what? Break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We had nice breeze yesterday, and you saw the trees just waving. You know, very soon they'll be full of leaves, and they will start making beautiful clapping noise. Verse 13, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Hallelujah. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. Anything that's not bearing, stand with me, let us pray. Anything that's not bearing good fruit right now, it shall bear fruit. Good fruit. Good fruit. Good fruit. Good fruit. Good fruit. Good fruit. Come forth. Come forth. Good fruit. Good fruit. Good fruit. Every barrenness is gone. Good fruit. Good fruit. Good fruit. In the name of Jesus, we call forth abundance. We call for goodness. We call for replenishing. We call for multiplication. In the name of Jesus, whatever is small in our hand becomes great. In the name of Jesus, two fishes, five loaves become more than 5,000 feeders. In the mighty name of Jesus, the multiplying effect come upon us. In the name of Jesus, come upon Glory and Peace Church. Come upon your family. Come upon in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, I receive. I receive abundance from the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, this morning, whatever is stressing your children, we cancel them. In the name of Jesus, we actually uproot them and take it out of them. Lord, with your word say you will bless their water and bread and remove sickness and disease. Anything that is causing them disease, be removed. In the name of Jesus, be harvested out from their lives, from the church, from the family, from the children, from parents, from their business, from their finance, from their health. Be removed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for breakthroughs. And thank you, God, that you are the answer. And you have made a way. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for answers, solutions, breakthroughs, victories, testimonies, glorious testimonies, joyful testimonies. We thank you for the miracles you are doing even right now. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise. We give you praise that burdens have been lifted and joy is restored. Burdens are lifted and joy is restored. Burdens have been lifted and joy is restored. Somebody say restoration. 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 Restore, 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 restore. Everything that is depleted, restore. Restore to abundance, to overflow. Cup running over. Goodness and mercy in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, God, for a wonderful service today. Your glory go forth and behind. Thank you, Lord, for the nation of Israel. Peace to Jerusalem. Peace within our walls and our palaces. Peace, oh God. Your word say, Israel is your glory. Israel, the apple of your eye. Israel, your firstborn. Remember your people and remember your everlasting covenant. You made with our fathers, Abraham and Isaac. Fulfill your part and let your people fulfill their part. Out of Abraham shall all nations be blessed. So we bless Israel, we bless Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, Bolivia, in the mighty name of Jesus, Argentina. Lord, we lift these nations before you, God. Touch their lives. Touch all the islands of the sea. All nations where someone is calling the name of the Lord this morning, let there be freedom, let there be salvation, and let there be blessing. Take care of your widows and your orphans. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak death cancellation. We speak breakthroughs, Lord. We speak that your people will have more than enough. to take care of themselves, their family, and for the house of God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for mega testimonies. To God be the glory. We pray over the word of the Lord this morning. Let it come with power, with grace, favor, mercy, and truth. Let it come with healing, deliverance, wholeness, and miracles, solutions. In the mighty name of Jesus. Increase and multiply us. Fill every seat with your people, Lord. Let this house of glory have a testimony. Look what the Lord has done. It is marvelous in our sight. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Apostle.
Praise the Lord. Amen. A few weeks ago, we embarked on a journey, and that journey was to address the subject of curses. One of the first things we looked at was found in the Epistle of Galatians, chapter 3. And verse 13. And we made a demarcation right there. The word of God says, Christ hath, past tense, redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And the demarcation we made was to look at the context and the objective of the verse. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law. We said, yes, there is a curse of the law. If you do not obey the laws, you get judged. But we did also say that not every curse comes from the law. There are curses that we impose on ourselves. There are curses that people impose on people. There are curses that come about because of particular actions that people take. Today I want to explore a little bit about some of the causes of curses. For the word of God is very clear about something. In Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 2, Proverbs 26 and verse 2, it says, as the bird by wandering and as a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Causes do not come, and causes will not abide if there's not a reason behind it. So then we must be certain then that whatever it is that will cause a curse to light, to rest, that we remove it. Amen? Now, we have an overarching grace in the fact that we are in Christ, in God. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. But the in Christ, in God is connected to our love walk with God and with each other. So if I'm not walking in love with God and with each other, then I'm still exposed. That makes sense?
Yes.
The blood of Jesus Christ covers a multitude of sins, but it's based on a love walk. It's based on a love walk. And so many times we may quote passages of scripture and not look close enough to find out what makes it work and what doesn't make it work. So we live confused. I thought the word of God said this. Why is this happening? Well, have you explored to find out the causes? So today we want to check on some. I won't be able to go into all of it, but we need to check on some of them. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, beginning to read from verse 15. The word of God makes this statement. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord. Watch this. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord. Now, what does that mean? God is not saying that you cannot have a statue of something. That's not the point. But what he's saying is making that thing an abomination unto the Lord. Making that thing your source of power. Are we together? Okay. God could care less whether you have an image of a car in your house or the semblance of some flower in your house. Is that not an image of something?
Yes.
But that's not the point. The point is when I start saying, oh, carnation, thou my Savior. Now we've got a problem. God could care less about any of that. But when you put that thing into a different realm that God has not given to it, that's where the problem is. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord. You get it? The work of the hands of craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place. This is another aspect. You put it in a what? Secret place. Because you don't want anybody else to know. This is my secret source of power. And there are people in the church. They come and shout hallelujah, but if you go into their homes and you check in there, you're going to find stuff. Especially people that come from places like Africa and South America and whatever else, Central America. See, it's there. And they think, this is my source of power. People can take a cross. God doesn't care whether you put Jesus on the cross and you're wearing it. But when that is your source of power, I got a cross. I'm going to go fight Dracula. We've got a problem. Now we've got a problem. Because you are putting on that thing that is created by man a power. Somebody listening? Don't let the enemy sidetrack you right now. This is not the time to be sidetracked. Images. Now, those images are not only images that are physical. You can have idols in your heart. And that idol can be your money. It can be your house. It can be whatever. whatever you are putting at the same level with God becomes an idol that will cause you to walk under a curse. When we do not honor God and give to God the honor that is due Him, you place yourself under a curse. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. What is that? That is exposing the nakedness, the secrets of your father. God says it generates a curse. Huh. And notice, after every statement, he says, the people shall say what? Amen. So shall it be. In essence, we will not do this, because we know that it's a curse generator. We're not going to expose the nakedness of our father or our mother and shame them by putting light by them. God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't shame those that have put in a place of honor in your life. Cursed be that removeth his neighbor's landmark. Just go, I'll shift, I'm going to gain a meter, and you take the survey line and move it so you get more property. It says, you're cursed when you try to rip somebody else off. Hello? When we rip other people off, we generate a curse. Cursed be the man that make it the blind to wander out of the way. You see your brother, he's going off, and instead of say, hey, no, not that way, this way. You see, you just say, I'll leave him with his problems. You know he does not know how to get out of that mess, and you are there watching him get into the mess and get further, deeper in the mess. God says, you know what you're doing? You're generating a curse. Now you can read through Deuteronomy chapter 27 all the way to verse 26 or so and see the generators of curses. Now, back to verse 15. I don't know who this is for, but somebody needs to hear this. There are people who invite curses into their lives by what they join themselves to. Those that are from my roots, African roots, you know, sometimes will want to take positions of power and authority and you want a chieftaincy. Want to be a chief. Oh, but they do libations and they do all kinds of rituals. And oh, no, they don't do that anymore. They don't do that. Please listen. Listen. They don't do that anymore. It's a lie. You take the chieftaincy from your community that has the roots back into idolatry and say, now I'm a Christian, I'm just taking it. And they even said, they prayed and allowed me to pray in Jesus' name. I tell you what, when you have gone home, they will be servicing the altar to that chieftaincy that you got yourself attached to, and all of a sudden you start having problems in your life and you don't know why you're having it. You can lose your mind. You can lose your wealth. You can lose your health. You can lose everything because of something that you wanted for whatever reason. Don't ever take honor from man that God wants to put on you. When you put man in that high place, and what he says is what makes you feel important, you have already generated an idol. Somebody listening? Why are we addressing this message? Because we, as God's people, need to repent and ask God for mercy and his pardon for mistakes knowingly and unknowingly made. What generates curses? Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20 tell us. Not only does idolatry bring curses, the dishonoring of parents, as we noted in Deuteronomy 27, also brings about curses. It says, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." You curse your father, you curse your mother, he says, your light is going to be put out and you're going to be in obscure darkness. "Pastor, I don't know what's happening. I'm very educated. I'm this, I'm that, and so on and so forth. But I'm not getting along, or I'm not getting ahead in life." Have you cursed your father or your mother? Now, I say, well, I never did that. But let me ask you this question. Because the presence of a curse is the absence of a blessing. Have you been a blessing? So you didn't curse them, but have you been a blessing to your parents? Have you honored them? Ephesians chapter 6 says to us, before I go there, let me look at verse 21. Watch this. Generators of curses. "An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be" what? "Blessed." What an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning. Who are you getting an inheritance from? From your parents. So, well, it's mine anyway. When they die, I'm going to get this anyway. And you live in a world of entitlement. Don't live in a world of entitlement when it comes to your parents. Remember the story of the prodigal son? When he left home before his father had released the blessing to him and he demanded it, you know already he is going to be in a mess. He had to mess up. Did you hear what I said? He had to mess up. No amount of "I'm smart, I'm a businessman, I'm a businesswoman, I am educated, I know lots of people that will help me." None of that was going to help him as soon as he dipped his hand in there. Before it was time, having gotten his inheritance hastily, his end was not going to be blessed. Did you get that? When we come to the house of God and we're hearing the word of the Lord, It is not just for us. It is for us to pass on to somebody else, to help somebody else. So if you see the blind man wandering off, now you are getting information from the word of the Lord to help them correct themselves. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So don't sit down there and say, well, I don't think this message applies to me. No, it applies to you. Because you need this information to help somebody else, if not yourself. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that what? Trusteth in man. This is God speaking. It has nothing to do with the law. In general terms, these are statements God is making and saying, you know what? A good way to get cursed is to put your trust in man and make it flesh his arm. He's not believing the report of the Lord and allowing the arm of God to be revealed. His faith is in man, and make it flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. That man is cursed. Your heart departed from the Lord, you're cursed. Backsliding is not an option for us, folks. Hallelujah. We don't put our hands on the plow and look sideways. That makes sense? The Lord himself says, he's not worthy. But my hands are on the plow. Yes, I brought you there. Your hands are on the plow. Now why are you looking back? Now you're placing yourself in the place of the curse, not the blessing. We read the story of Uzziah. A great man, became very great until pride came into his heart. And he began to do something that he was not assigned to do. He started burning incense in the temple, and when he was rebuked for his actions, he got so upset and was going to attack the priesthood. And right in the temple, the Bible says leprosy rose up on his forehead. So you can be inside the temple, inside the church, and get cursed. Somebody listening? Please hear. We want to break the backbone of the enemy. Hallelujah. Our confidence is not in the flesh, in the arm of flesh. Whether that flesh is other people's flesh or your flesh. Because sometimes your confidence is in yourself. I can. Then you find out. So you can, really, yeah? Okay, let's see what you can do. And you find out, not so. The secret to good success in God is continuing in the truth of God's word. Praise God. I'm going to go on a slight detour, but for a reason. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. We read the story of a king called Amaziah. I want you to come along with me on this passage. I'm going to make some slight comments here and there. But I want you to get this point. It says, Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Watch this. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now that's crucial. He did what was right, but not with a perfect heart. And the word of God now begins to explain to us what happened. He says, now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him. He's now king and he's taking care of everything, and everything was right on the right places. His I's were dotted and his T's crossed. Things were established. That now he slew his servants that had killed the king, his father. His father had been assassinated. So now when he had made sure everything was right, he gets rid of those guys that killed his father. Okay. But he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law, in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. So he did right by that. And then the Bible goes on. He says, moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains of over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go to war, that could handle spear and shield. He had hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. Are we together so far? He's putting his military force together because he wants to go to war. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. I'm telling you, don't go with these guys. But if you want to go, go ahead. Do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath power to help and to cast down. And he said, well, what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. I've already given them millions of dollars. What am I going to do? They're not going to give me back that money. And the prophet says, forget about it. Somebody say, forget about it. So you've spent all that money. Forget about it. It's not worth it. God is able to give you all of that back. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you got to cut it. Because what you were trying to join yourself with was going to generate a curse. And sometimes cutting loose what you thought was going to be a blessing is the best thing you can do for your life. Sometimes you just need to walk away. Walk away from the money, walk away from whatever. I know one of the sons in this house doesn't physically worship here, somewhere else. Was in business with a particular individual some decades back. He tells us a story about how he walked away from a lucrative business because he saw something was wrong. He walked away and left millions. I mean, I'm not saying one or two or 10 or 20 or 30. Walked away from it. And that was his salvation. Today he's got all that money back. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes you need to walk away from some things because they will generate curses in your life. Now remember, the Bible says that he did the right things, but not with a perfect heart before God. Now he goes to war and he defeats the enemy. Watch this. Let's go to verse 12. He says, he defeated all of the enemies, knocked them all out. He comes back and says, and ordered, he kills 10,000 of these Edomites, I believe it were. He says, and the other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive and brought them onto the top of the rock. Now, this is a little bit gross, but this is what happened. You know, the word of God is very clear about what it says. Brought them onto the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock that they were all broken in pieces. Now, God has a clear mandate that you don't do things like that. You do not kill prisoners of war. They slew those that they fought with in battle, and it takes it 10,000 guys and giving them hope that they're going to live, they bring them by the side of the rock and push them down, and they all died. They're broken in pieces. No. Watch what's going to happen. Now it came to pass, after that Amasa was come from the slaughter, now it came to pass, after Amasa was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. How does that make any sense? How does that make any sense? You just defeated them and their gods. You killed them. You took them to the side of the cliff. You dumped them down. They are shattered. They are destroyed. And then you take their gods home and said, worship it. What sense does that make? It happens because of the fact that he was not serving with all of his heart. When you don't give yourself completely to God, you will act crazy. And we're living in that kind of a world today. The crazy things that are happening in our world today are a result of us saying that we are a Christian people, we're a Christian nation, with this and with that, and then we're not serving God with all of our hearts. 9/11 happened, and churches were packed out only for about 3 weeks. And everybody started doing their own thing. Is that not true? We have bought our children, and having done that, complain about violence in our streets. When you've not respected the child in the womb, how are you going to respect life? Everybody's expendable. It's part of the curse. Are we together? Listen, whatever it is that we do impacts our whole life. Something that you did here or did not do here, you think it's not impacting what's happening here. Oh no, there is a lot of correlation. Every day of your life, something is happening based on the realities that you embrace, the decisions that you make. It will affect you directly or indirectly. This man is doing all kinds of crazy things. Does he repent? No, it's a slippery slope. A prophet comes to talk to him and he says, Who gave you the right to speak where I am? How dare you say anything to me? And in his braggadocio, he begins to challenge the king of Israel to battle. He says, I want to see your face, man. The king of Israel says, cool it, man. Cool it, because you defeated the Edomites. Don't start picking a fight with me, because I'm going to clean your slate. Do you understand? So he goes. Judah that is supposed to be with God. God said, "Don't join battles. Don't bring the Israelites into your army." Now that God is not with Amaziah, he loses. Because if God is not for you, you will lose. Hello?
Yes.
Let me say it again. If God is not with you, you will lose. That's why Israel, Judah, ends up in Babylon. When they were not with God, and God was not with them, they lost. It is God that makes you great. It is God that makes you powerful. It is God that makes you successful. And if you deny God his rightful place and you try to play the way of the world, you will lose to the world. They are smarter than you. They have more connections than you. You are only greater with God. You are only the majority with God. Any other place, you are nothing. Is somebody listening?
Yes.
None of us here, no matter how amazing we think we are anything without God. Oh, I can. Okay. Do it, and you find out that the devil is still the god of this world. You find out. Well, praise be to God who's made us more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What generates curses? Jeremiah again, Jeremiah 17. Finish with this and I'll go to the next one. I will not be able to finish this morning, I'm sure of it. Jeremiah 17. Verse 5 and 6. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh man, maketh the flesh, man the flesh of his arm, maketh man his source of power, and whose heart departed from the Lord. We saw it in Amaziah's life, didn't we? For he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh. He shall not see when good is coming, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. You're going to be in a place because your faith and your trust is in the arm of flesh, where you are going to be frustrated. No matter how hard you're trying, things are not going to go right. That's what the word of God is saying. However, blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. The other guy is seeing heat and good not coming, but you planted with God. He says, you're not going to see when heat comes. He says, and your leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Oh, things are tough. The economy is shutting down. He says, that's not your concern, because you are not of that kingdom. Your trust is not in their system. Your trust is in the Lord. He says, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. But then it says this, because your heart has to be perfect to the Lord. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God, the Lord, searches the heart. Hallelujah. It says, he tries the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God, search my heart. And if there be any idols here, uproot it. Like Mama prayed earlier today. Uproot it. Get rid of it. That which my Father has not planted shall be rooted out. Hallelujah. We want that which God has not planted in our lives to be rooted out, and to be rooted out immediately. Somebody shout hallelujah. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, the Lord specifically addresses curses. And here he says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God says, I'm not going to beat around the bush. This is where you robbed me, in your tithes and in your offerings. And then he says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Wow. What's the antidote? It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And what is God saying? Watch this. This is how God works it. God says, you know what? You take care of my house, and I'll take care of you. Hello? Did I make that up? Okay. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, in your obedience to this, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a what? A blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I'm going to pour you out a blessing that you're not going to have room enough. Praise the Lord. So I want you blessed. I have more than enough for you. But I want you to take care of my house. Do bring your tithes and your offering, and see what I'm going to do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, notice it says that the whole nation did it. Now, the fact, and let me put it this way. In Malachi 1, the Bible tells us that they were given. Actually, let's go to Malachi 1 for a moment. Let me take it from verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. He had a burden in his heart and he had to share it. He says, I have loved you, said the Lord. Yet he say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, said the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau. And laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Why did he do that? Go back to the story. Esau loved his tummy rather than the promise of God. Yeah? And so he was willing to trade his birthright for some porridge. Trade that was meant to be eternal for temporary satisfaction. And many times that's what we do. We don't have an eternal perspective. We have a very temporary perspective. And that which is temporal, that which you temporarily focus your attention on without having an eternal perspective, is what will cause you to fail in life. So it says, whereas Edom said, we are impoverished, but we'll return and build the desolate places. Thus said the Lord of hosts, they shall not build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them, and they shall call them. The border of wickedness and the people against whom the Lord had indignation forever. For your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honors his father. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? Remember, we talked about honoring fathers. And God says, if I'm your father, where's my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Do you have any fear of me? Said the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. He starts out first of all with the priest. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon my altar. Do you get that? You offer polluted bread. Let's put it this way. Bread that is full of mucus and mold. You bring it and say, this is what I bring to you. God says, you're honoring me with your junk. You know, it's amazing how many times people bring junk to God. Stuff that you will not give to your neighbor, maybe the church needs it. Like we're a storage for junk. Really? It's incredible. And God was simply saying, bring the right things before me. In that he said, the table of the Lord is contemptible. When you bring junk, you are making the table of God a mess. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? Did they bring a sacrifice? Yeah, it says, but you brought a blind one. And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Go, that same stuff that you bring into me. Go give that moldy bread to your prime minister, okay? You think you can bring it to me? Go give it to your prime minister. Go give it to the king. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord. And I pray you beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This had been by your means, Will he regard your person, said the Lord of hosts. It goes on and talks about how you're busy building your own houses, taking care of your stuff. And my stuff, you live shabbily. He says, now check it out. You're putting money in your pocket. And it's like putting money in a pocket with holes in it. You're trying to save. But where's your savings? It's gone. Do you know how many people not honoring God pile up whatever it is that they piled up, and all of a sudden it's gone. It's gone. Blown away. Operating under a curse. God is saying, put me in a place of honor. And then check me out and see if I'm not going to open the windows of heaven and pour out my blessings upon you in an immeasurable way. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do curses come? They come because of our disobedience. I'm cutting every point short. I want you to reflect and just think about what has been said. Generators of curses. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, it says, therefore thou shalt, behold, I set before you this day a what? A blessing and a curse. A blessing if you what? Obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. That's how the blessing is going to come. Your obedience. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 14, God speaks about the blessing that comes because of obedience. And then from verse 15 to the end, talks about the curses that come upon lives because of disobedience. So disobedience to the instructions of God generate curses in people's lives. It denies us the blessing. What else? Your words, my words. There are people that speak evil about themselves. I'm so dumb. I can't this. I will never this. And they just speak evil on themselves. Or there are people who will put you down and you accept they are put down. Somebody comes and calls you crazy, stupid, foolish, a dummy, and you start acting like it. Well, you are pulling into yourself a curse. That makes sense? Your boss, I don't care who he is, comes and starts speaking negative things and cursing you. You have every right in God to say, I am not any of those things that you're saying. I refuse to accept that. I may have done something wrong. I may have not pulled my weight as I should, but I'm not a dummy, and I'm not foolish, and I'm not that. And I was going to say, take this job and shove it. Well, it's not acceptable. You're created in the image and the likeness of God, and the words of man must not define you. When you allow the words of men to define you, you've made them God over your life. You're living in fear of them rather than the fear of God. They don't have that right. Hallelujah. Carry yourself with dignity and recognize that you are who God says you are. Praise God. In Psalm 34, verse 12 through 19. The word of God says, what man is he that desireth life? You desire life and loveth many days that he may see good. Peter gives us this same passage, quotes it, almost verbatim. He says, depart from evil. Hallelujah. And what? Do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Why? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Those who are seeking peace and pursuing it. Those who are seeking good. And his ears are open unto their cry. Praise God. Depart from evil. Seek the heart of God. God's eyes are focused on you. He says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. What does it say? Delivers them from some of their troubles? All of their troubles. It didn't say you will not have troubles. He says, but you're going to be delivered from all of them because your faith and your trust is in me. The Lord is nigh unto them that are righteous. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. People who humble themselves before me, he says, I'm for them. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, he delivered him out of them all. Praise God. Now, what is that point? The point is, we said the absence of the blessing is the curse. Remember that? But what we also must recognize is that being a believer who loves God and is following God does not necessarily separate you from troubles. That the presence of troubles isn't the curse. Did you hear that? The presence of issues is in the curse. So don't go around thinking, oh, I must be under a curse because I have all these problems. No, no. Are you with God? If you are sold out and you are totally surrendered to God, you're not under the curse. If you are not with God, oh, now you've got problems. In fact, the fact that you are with God sometimes is what generates problems in your life. But I'd rather have those problems being with God than having no problems without God. Hello? Did you hear what I said? Because being with God is an eternal thing. It's forever. And I'd rather have my connectivity with him rather than, oh, things are okay. No, no. Sometimes things can be okay because you've been set up. Did you hear that? How many times have I seen people who are heading for major troubles? They're doing all the wrong things, and it seems like everything is good with them. And the people that are busy doing the right things have problems. And the person who is doing the wrong thing thinks, see, the reason I'm not having any problems is because everything is fine with me. No, 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 no. What the devil is doing, he's busy pressing on these people while you are going astray. He's going to turn away from them after a while. But now you are all by yourself. And all he doesn't need to run fast. He just needs to trot. Until you are all tired, and he will come and eat you up. And I've seen it happen so many times. You warn people, this thing that you're doing is going to get you in this. Oh no, I can feel the presence of the Lord. Okay? Hallelujah, God is speaking to me. Oh, glory to God, that's good. How can God be speaking to you in this situation that you are in? God doesn't mind it, that's the proof of it. God does not mind it that I'm living this crazy life. A young man, let me put it that way. God was using him powerfully. God had an assignment on his life. I saw him one day with somebody. I said, I don't like this thing here that I'm saying. Oh, it's nothing. Nothing. God is showing me something. Oh, no. It's nothing. He's busy messing around. And he was still prophesying. Because the gifts of God are without repentance. God is still speaking. Excuse me. God is still speaking to me. But you're living a double life, man. That can't be God. No, God is speaking to me. Hallelujah. Praise God. The person that was luring him away for money. You have a need? Here. Left his wife, shacking up with this person, bringing that person into their church. You're doing something wrong. Oh, I'm prophesying. It's right on. Dump that one and goes after another one. In church? Yeah, in church. How do you get so nose blind that you can't smell that you are in trouble? The wickedness of sin. Because people don't obey the word of God. Don't speak evil into your life. Don't accept evil into your life. Don't embrace it. And finally, I'm not going to give this too much time. Deuteronomy chapter 18. You open your magazine, your newspaper, and there's a segment there called horoscopes. You know those things? A horoscope, it will bring horror into your life. That's all I can say about that. People going palm reading. God says, don't do that. That's going to bring trouble. And it goes down generations. And today we are going to break free from the lies of the enemy. Somebody shout hallelujah. I said, somebody shout hallelujah. The devil is a liar. Amen? Verse 10. And then we're going to pray. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. A necromancer is somebody who's worshiping the dead. They go and they spend time in the cemetery trying to get powers. Now, why does God talk about all of this? Because those are genuine powers. Somebody listening? Those things are real, but they are not of God. And all God is saying is, if it is not of me, have nothing to do with it. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. These things are abominations. I'm going to drive them out away from you. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Amen? Someone say, I shall be perfect with the Lord my God. Why was Amaziah not perfect with all his heart? You saw it. He had stuff kept somewhere. And now that he went and he defeated the Edomites, he got their stuff. You know what? Come. Are you listening? Most likely, the only reason he went out to fight the Edomites was to go collect their gods. And sometimes the only reason we go out there and we do whatever it is we do is to go get what the world has. That is not our answer. We are not like the world. We are the people of God. And we must focus our attention on that reality in our going out and in our coming in. Rise with me. I pray that something that has been said today spoke to your spirit. Because it is God's intention for us to possess the nations. It says, for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times, unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered or allowed thee so to do. And I'm going to drive them out. And you're going to possess your possessions. Say with me, Father, I raise my hands up before you in total surrender. I ask, O God, for forgiveness for every area that I have defaulted, every area that I have not moved in the righteousness and uprightness of your word and of your will. Father, forgive me. Forgive my family. Forgive my heritage for every sin, anything that has generated a curse, that has become a blockade in my life, in my family, in my environment. Lord God Almighty, pardon in your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Have mercy. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy, O God. Pardon. 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 And in your grace, snatch me out of this mess. Make me a new creation for your glory and honor. Raise up in my life a prophet that will speak truth to power. In the name of Jesus, raise up prophets in our midst. Raise up a prophet in my family. Raise me up as a prophet, Lord, O God, that will declare your will done in the earth as it is in heaven. This day, I denounce everything that is not of you. I surrender myself to you. I receive from you a perfect heart. Expose to me areas in my life that must change, that I may turn them over to you right now. right now, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Deliver me, O God, from things that I've connected myself to, directly or indirectly. Whatever is a handicap, I separate myself from it, for that is not your planting in my life. Thank you, Father, for deliverance and redemption in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Well, I think God's willing, I'm done with discussing this subject. But listen to it, because I'm certain that many things that were shared that you may have missed. Listen to it again. The other day, my grandson had come with his sister for a sleepover. And it was 5 o'clock. And I turned the television on to call to victory. And he came in and said, "Why are you watching yourself on television?" It's a true statement. Well, I was watching it because I needed to hear what was being said. Even I go back many times to listen to the word. So that I can be transformed by that word. I encourage you to do the same. You'll find it helpful. Amen? Praise God. Well, at this time, let us honor God. And as the word of God said to us today, let's not bring junk to God, moldy bread. You know, when we talk about the tithe is not the second tenth. It's not just 10%. It is the first tenth. Praise God. So, what I don't just go by the tithe. I go by what the Lord has asked me to give to Him. When I have a check or something given to me and I put it in the bank, I take God's money out first. I take it out first. Before I spend a dime out of it, I take His money out first. And I used to just leave it in my wallet, but now I do better than that. I put it in an envelope. So by tomorrow, all of my givings for this next week will be in an envelope. Are you listening to me? Because I know God has to be honored first. Before Walmart, before McDonald's, before, where do you like eating? Romers? Huh? The keg. Before the keg and anybody else, God first. Amen? Put Him first before you spend a dime out of it. Put it first. So let's give to God our best today. And I assure you that the blessings of God will not be withheld from us. He's already bestowed His blessing on us already. The fact is, He says the wicked person whose faith is in the arm of flesh, He says, will not see good when good cometh. The good is here. It's not coming. It's here. But let it happen for you. See it. Amen? Now, He says He's going to bring His blessings. He's going to bestow His blessings. Now, the fact is not, okay, put your money here and then all kinds of things will happen. God will give you godly ideas. There are things that is going to bring into your way that will bring about the release that you need. God has so many ways to bring his increase into our lives. So let's be focused on that. Amen? And we will not be disappointed. Praise the Lord. Did you hear something today that you needed to hear? Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask, while we come and we bring our gifts of faith, I'm going to ask Mama to come. We're going to share in communion together. And I'm going to ask her to pray the closing prayer this morning. Receive every blessing that God has for you. And be greatly benefited by the manifestation of his grace. Hallelujah. Did everybody get their elements? Have we all been served? If you've not been served, just wave and we'll make sure you, the elements of communion come to you. I encourage everyone, nobody outside in the halls, everybody inside, ushers, greeters, teachers, everybody in. Children, everybody in. Nobody anywhere else in the building right now. I know there's somebody up in the sound booth over there and they have to be there, but just look in here and that will be sufficient because we know you need to control your equipment. Is everybody in? Ushers, is everybody in? Mr. Pastor, why are you asking for everybody to be in? Because God wants to do something here, right now. We all need to be in this circle. We're good? Okay. This is the body that secured our healing and our deliverance. This is the body that secured our prosperity. Jesus said, our Lord said, take of this body and eat, and do it in remembrance of me. He said to his disciples, there were thousands of them, he says, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have nothing to do with me. And he said, this guy wants us to be cannibals. And they all left. And he's left with 12. It was not the multitude that mattered. When they left, they thought that they were ruining Jesus' ministry and he was now a failure and a success, an extremist and whatever else. But it was this body and this cup that made it possible for every one of us here to be here today. We are billions of people all around the world. Hallelujah. Take of this body and receive every blessing that Father has assigned through his Son for us to receive. In Jesus' name.
this cup of blessing. So somebody say, I'm delivered.
I am delivered.
From every curse.
From every curse.
The ones I took part in.
The ones I took part in.
The ones that were put on me.
The ones that were put on me.
The ones I'm not aware of.
The ones that I'm not aware of.
Every single one of them.
Every single one of them.
I'm delivered from all of them.
I'm delivered from all
in
of them.
In the mighty name of
in
Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Cleanse me.
Cleanses me.
From all unrighteousness.
From all unrighteousness.
I receive. The righteousness.
The righteousness.
Of our Lord and Savior.
Of our Lord and Savior.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I am free.
I am free.
From every curse.
From every curse.
Only the blessing.
Only the blessing.
Abides in my life.
Abides in my life.
Abides in my family.
Abides in my family.
Abides in the work of my hands.
Abides in the works of my hands.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Take and drink.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lift your hand to heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your mighty works. We receive your word. Your word has set us free.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Almighty God, for your goodness. We thank you for deliverance.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for wholeness.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for restoration.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, God, that you have a people.
Yes, Lord.
Who will love you and serve you with all our hearts.
Yes, Father.
Lord, we will not put some little part on the side. Mm-mm. So that the enemy will not use that against us. We give you all our heart.
Amen.
Our heart belongs to you.
Amen.
Our heart belongs to you.
Amen.
Our lives belong to you.
Amen.
Our family belongs to you.
Amen.
Our properties belong to you.
Amen.
Everything you've blessed us with, they belong to you.
Yes, Lord.
We return all the glory to you.
Yes, Father.
We return all the glory to you.
Yes, Father.
And we thank you for taking care of us.
In Jesus' name.
For being the one who watches over us.
Yes, Father.
Let your eyes continue to watch over everyone here.
Hallelujah.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you for deliverance from all those, all evil, and deliverance for those who are hearing the sound of my voice.
Amen, Lord.
They receive the same portion.
Amen.
That we are receiving now.
Yes, Lord.
We say we are blessed.
We are blessed.
And we are highly favored.
Highly favored.
And the goodness of God,
the goodness of the
is
Lord,
at work in our lives.
Is at work in our lives.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll see you back here tonight. And there's one person. Okay.
Jim, we have conflict. Brother Jim or Jim?
No, just Brother Josiah.
Oh, Brother Josiah.